Good morning. Good to see everybody with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, as was mentioned, one of our prayers this morning, we do not have a full-time evangelist working with us right now. We're in the process of getting one and his family here coming up this July. So we're looking forward to that. So the men are sharing the responsibilities of the preaching every month, every week. So this being my week. And also, recently, I've kind of done a little bit different things in some lessons I've prepared, and this being one of them, to try to speak more, pick a text and read through that and just make some comments on that. You know, as we know, Old Testament times, even New Testament times, in the reading of Scripture, that's what would be done. They would read the Scripture, and then there were certain individuals that would do some interpretation on that Scripture, and that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pick up our reading, our text out of John chapter 6. Before we do, just a couple of comments before we get into that. A lot of lessons in John chapter 6. I probably don't recognize all of them as I studied, you know, this morning. But a couple things to think about. So just for yourself, I want you to contemplate for just a minute. Are there times that you're kind of skeptical and, you know, maybe you look for reasons to find fault? I do that. Don't I? Put yourself in that frame of mind that reasons not to believe something. I think we're going to pick up some of that in our lesson this morning. Are there times when you're looking for physical blessings in situations when we really should be more concerned about the spiritual? I think we're going to find that this morning. Are there times when you believe and you accept a certain teaching because it's comfortable, because it goes along with what you think? Are there times that you don't believe it? Because it's different. Because it's not comfortable. Because you don't really never thought about it, but you kind of think, well, I'm just not going to agree with that. That kind of goes against with what I think. Do we do that with God's Word? We're going to find that this morning. So picking up our context a little bit, in John chapter 6 is where our context is, and there is going to be, the text is going to be on the board, but before we get into that, I'd just like to read one passage and put this into context. In John chapter 20 and verse 30, it says, "Many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book." Here's the point. "But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have eternal life in his name." So there is really the purpose of the Gospel of John. Okay? "These have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." So as we study this morning out of John chapter 6, let's keep that in mind. Okay? We understand, or if you don't understand, you know, you probably heard the term the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the idea of that is they're very similar. Okay? John is not that way. The Gospel of John is not that way. It doesn't go in chronological order. It brings up, you know, not as many of the teachings that Jesus did, but the reason that the teachings are there is so that what? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have eternal life in his name. So keep that in mind as we're studying this text. So in John chapter 6, I'm going to try to see, if you don't know, we have a new system going on. It should be up here on the board behind me, but it's also in front of me over here. I'm not sure if I'm going to read over there or read out of my Bible, so you'll have to cut me some slack a little bit. But eternal food is the way that I've addressed this morning. And we'll start actually in John chapter 6 and verse 22. But before we get into that, I want to pick up a little bit of the context, because it's obviously important. So this is in Jesus' Galilean ministry, in picking up in John chapter 6, which is not on the board, the first part of it, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and a great multitude was following him because, and notice what it says here, it's not under text, but if you want to just listen. Verse 2, the great multitude was following him because they were seeing the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. So Jesus and his Galilean ministry, as we'll talk about here as we get into it, people were following him because of the signs that he was performing on those who were sick. Okay, so that's kind of the gathering that he had. And picking up in verse 10, 11, we understand that this is the feeding of the 5,000. Okay, or this right before our text this morning. The feeding of the 5,000. And if you remember that text, the idea that he was teaching and all those people were there and they needed to feed them, so they fed those people with, you know, just a little bit of food, and that in and of itself was a huge miracle. Keep that in mind. Remember, these people are following him first. Why? Because the signs that he was performing it about those who are sick. Then he performs this miracle of feeding 5,000, whether there were 5,000 or maybe there were 10,000, because the text seems to indicate that the 5,000 were the men. So there could have been a lot more. So he performs this miracle. In picking up in verse 15, Jesus therefore perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him a king. So he performs this miracle and these people are saying what? We want a king. This guy would be great. A physical king is what they were thinking about. Okay, so just keep that in your mind. Okay? And then as you go on, in verse 16, the evening came, and his disciples went. They were in Tiberias, which is on the Sea of Galilee, kind of right in the middle or more towards the southern west side. Okay? And his disciples get in a boat to head to Capernaum, which is to the north of the Sea of Galilee. And they take off, and they're rowing for 2 or 3 miles, and Jesus walks on the water and comes to them. And all that happened. So this is all happening just prior to our text this morning. So, picking up our reading, we'll pick up in John chapter 6 in verse 22. I'm going to read it out of my Bible here. The next day, the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one that Jesus had entered with his disciples into the boat, but that the disciples had gone away alone. And there came other small boats from Tiberias near that place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the multitudes therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into small boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered. So let's pick up a little bit of comments there. So as we see, Jesus walked on the water, the disciples and all came to Capernaum. And then the other people, the multitudes, keep in mind, the multitudes that were following him first because he was performing miracles, he was healing the sick. Now he performs a miracle of feeding the 5,000 plus. So then the next morning they're looking for him and they realize that his disciples got in a boat and went across the sea. But how did he get there? So that's kind of our context here. So verse 26 says, Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me," here's the point, "not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." So pick that up in your minds. So now they're seeking him, why? Because they were fed physically. They were thinking on the physical plane. At first they were following him, and just think about where their mindset is. Because he was performing miracles and healing sick, now he performs this miracle of feeding the 5,000. What are they doing? Let's make him king. Jesus perceived that in their hearts, that that's what they wanted him to do, so they're following him, and now Jesus says what? You seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do you want a physical kingdom? We know how Jesus so taught against that, or not against that, but his focus was on that spiritual kingdom. But the people were still concerned about the physical. Verse 27. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. So going along with our theme this year, which is wherever it is, somewhere around here, okay? A heart to work. Oh, there it is. It's hidden behind the bushes from me. Having that heart to work, having that mind to work, you know, what does Jesus say here? Do not work for food which perishes, but what? But for the food which endures to eternal life, which, okay, the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. I think this is an important point. We're going to see how they responded here pretty quickly. And this is talking to the Jew about the Jews. They were probably still under the persuasion that Jesus is not the Messiah, that Jesus is a good man, maybe a prophet, but not the Son of God. We're going to kind of see that as this kind of opens up for us. So what does Jesus say? Don't work for the food that perishes. Don't work for physical things, but what? But the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. And what does he say? For on him, on Jesus, is what he's talking about. The Father, even God, has set his seal. What does it mean to set your seal? It means the approval. God approved of who Jesus was. Probably referring back to when Jesus was baptized. Remember, God spoke, told him to what? To believe in him, to believe in Jesus. Okay? So God has sent his seal upon that. Notice what happens. They said therefore to them, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus said, answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. A couple little side notes here. So they asked, what should we do that we can work the works of God? What do you think their mindset was? So that what? So that we can have physical food. So you can take care of us physically, Jesus, so you can be our king. And everything would be great with the Romans and our culture and all those kind of things. You'd be our physical king. That's not what Jesus was referring to. That's probably what they were, though, right? Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So another little note. We talk in our culture today, you know, so many people, you know, believe or, you know, tell us that we interpret the scriptures wrong to say that we have to do things to be saved. I don't do things to be saved in such a way that I earn salvation, but I have to be obedient. And notice what it says here. This is the work of God. What's the work of God? That you believe in him whom he sent. So belief is a work. I've talked to people that say, you know, there's no works, you know, that you're not saved by works. Well, belief is a work. And salvation comes through our belief, through the death of Jesus. So as it says there again in verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And they said, notice their response. They said to him, what then do you do for a sign that we may believe you? What work do you perform? Pretty fascinating. Remember, they were following him because he was healing the sick. What do you do? He fed 5,000. They didn't see him walk on the water, but he fed 5,000 people or more. And now they're saying what? What are you going to do for a sign, Jesus? I mean, come on. Isn't that kind of the concept I brought up earlier? Are we skeptical? Are we kind of hard-headed and we don't believe? Jesus performed this miracle of feeding 5,000 people, and these are the people that are following him. And they say, okay, you say that, you know, I have to do works that we may believe in him. Okay, what kind of work are you going to do? What work do you perform? Really? Do we fall into that? Verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it was written. He gave them bread, out of heaven to eat. So now they're going back. Remember, these are Jews. They're going back. Well, our father gave us things. Our fathers, they did things to show us that God was with us, if you will. But notice what it says. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as is written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Seems to indicate that what are these Jews kind of saying here? Well, you know, our prophets, if you will, Moses, what'd he do? He took care of us. Are you going to do the same, Jesus? But that's a quote out of Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. It clearly states there that who gave him the bread? God did. It wasn't Moses. It came from God. But they were kind of relating that, well, maybe Jesus could be our king as Moses was, you know, the leader of the people and take care of us physically. And what are they saying? Show us something. Show us something. You know, if it was me, I'd have said, didn't you see the 5,000 that were fed? But that's not what Jesus says. That's me. So, continuing on, verse 32, picking up our reading. And here's Jesus' response. Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to this world. So what does Jesus say? Yeah, you're thinking about that physical. It wasn't Moses who gave it to you. It's God. And the bread of God, which comes down out of heaven and gives life to this world. So what do they say? In verse 34, they answered, they said therefore to him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Meaning what? They're still on the physical. They want this physical bread. What does Jesus say? Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall not never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Catch that. You have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of God, of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up in the last day. What does Jesus say? Put that into your own words. He says, I am the bread of life. You come to me, you're never going to hunger spiritually. That's the idea. He's going to take care of you spiritually. He's going to take care of you physically. You're not talking about this physical thing that these Jews were interpreting him to say. The one who sent me, as it says in verse 35, but I said to you who has seen me, verse 37. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. So God will call us, and he does, through his word, through Jesus, to himself, to Jesus. I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I have come down from heaven. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that is given me, I lose nothing and raise it up on the last day. Notice how Jesus is referring to himself. For this is the will of the Father. Key verse. That everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself may raise him up on the last day. Fabulous teaching. Where are we? How did they respond? The Jews, therefore, were what? Grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. They didn't like that. They didn't like that. In verse 40, once again, he said, this is the will of my Father. Everyone who believes, who beholds the Son and believes in him. Jesus is bringing attention to himself that he is the Messiah. Okay? But they were still on the physical. Jesus said he came down to heaven. What do they say? They're grumbling about it. The Jews, notice that, the Jews, we're still talking about the Jews. They were grumbling because he said, I'm the bread that came down out of heaven. And they were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say, I have come down out of heaven? They didn't understand it. Do we fall in the same category sometimes? Do we have somebody, or are we reading our Bibles, or something comes up and we don't understand the teaching? Are we so quick to say, I don't agree with it, or I'm not going to believe it, or willing to yield to God's word like they should have, even though they didn't understand it? How is this so? We know Jesus' physical mother and father. We don't understand this. But they weren't willing to believe. Because what did he say earlier? You've seen me, but you don't believe. I'm sure they didn't agree with that. They would have thought that they believed. Verse 43. Once again, Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day, as is written in the prophets. And they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father and comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is of God, who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that you may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. So what does Jesus tell them? You're talking about physical bread. I'm talking about spiritual bread. You're talking about a physical kingdom. I'm talking about salvation through the Messiah, myself. What does he tell them? You have to, as he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He goes on to tell them that they must eat of him. They didn't understand that. Once again, for us, if we don't understand the teaching, God's teaching, are we still willing to accept it? They weren't. They weren't. Verse 51 again. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus gave up of his flesh, didn't he? We are to partake of that. Certainly it's referring to the Lord's Supper, but it's also referring to what does it mean to eat? It means to bring in, to consume. So we are to take Jesus into our lives. We're to eat of that. I mean, can you plug in the Old Testament of eat the scroll? Sure. Why not? So notice in 52, now here's their response. The Jews therefore began to argue with one another. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Wait a second. What have they argued before? Remember verse 41, they grumbled about what? He's saying, I came down out of heaven. Now what? Shift gears. Now we're going to grumble about something else. Jesus said we need to eat of his flesh. I don't understand that. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Okay, Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as your fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread shall live forever. These things he said in the synagogues, and he taught in Capernaum. So what does Jesus teach him? He elaborates on their thing. They began to argue and grumble in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? He tells them that you have to eat of his flesh. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. We need to take Jesus into our lives. We need to partake Lord's Supper, sure, but it's more than that. We need to allow Jesus to live within us, and that's the idea of consuming, to eat him. Okay? That's what we need to do. And he said these things, as we said, in the last part of verse 59 in Capernaum. Now, getting down to on to the end of this text. Many therefore of his what? Disciples. Now we've skipped. We've been talking about how the Jews had reacted, and these people, these Jews were following him, but even Jesus says, you don't believe in me, even though you're following me. You're following me for the wrong reasons. You're following me because I healed the sick. You're following me because I did this miracle of feeding the 5,000. You're following me because you want to make me your king. All those things are not believing in me. But what is, now we shift gears. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Now let's make application to that. As disciples, when we hear different teachings that we might not understand, might be difficult, what do we need to do? Not only that, Jesus knowing everything, because we know that, Jesus knew what they were thinking, knew everything, he knew his disciples would have a problem with this, so what did he do? Taught it anyway. Right? Taught it anyway, because they needed to understand this. So with us, even though we might understand that teaching God's word, a lot of people are not going to accept it. What do we need to do? Teach it anyway. We know in our culture today there's many different concepts that are contrary to, you know, to Scripture, what do we need to do? We need to stand up against it and teach it anyway. Right? Jesus, knowing this. Verse 60 again, many therefore disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. How can we listen to it? But Jesus, here's the point, conscience of his disciples grumbling at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then, if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? Is it the Spirit who gives life? The flesh profits nothing? The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life, but there are some of you who do not believe. So what is Jesus saying? Is this going to cause you to stumble? Okay. If you see the Son of Man, talking about himself, who ascended where he was before, if you see him going back up into heaven, what are you going to realize? That his teachings are spiritual, not physical. They wanted this physical kingdom. I'm sure some of them did too. Some of his disciples. Right? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. We're not talking about what's going to profit you in the flesh. All these other Jews were following him because what? Because he was doing those miracles. Because he fed them physically. And they were looking for physical sustenance. What's he telling them? That's not what I'm talking about. The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who don't believe. Who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning, catch that, whom they were who did not believe. And who it was that would betray him. Jesus recognized this. Jesus recognized that in this teaching was going to be difficult for him. People in his audience weren't going to believe. They didn't believe in the first place. Verse 65, and he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless he has been granted him from the Father. So as he talked about earlier, how God draws us to him, that we come to God through an understanding of Jesus' will, and doing what? Eating of Jesus, partaking of Jesus, bringing Jesus into our lives. Picking up in verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Jesus realized that some would not believe. Jesus realized that this was a teaching that would be difficult for him. But he also realized that they had to understand this teaching and make application to it, as we do today. Verse 67. As it goes on, verse 66 again, as a result, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So the disciples, specifically, okay, you know, he asked him, do you want to go also? Some of his disciples left, but the apostles, if you will, were here. What did he say? Do you want to go too? And they say, what? Simon Peter stood up and says, what? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So they were willing to try to understand this teaching. I'm sure it's difficult for them. Do you think they understood what it meant to eat of Jesus' flesh and to drink of his blood? Probably not this time. But they were still willing to follow him. As we should be. When difficult teachings come our way, are we still willing to follow him? When teachings come our way that we don't agree with, are we still willing to be obedient? Are we going to have some preconceived notions that, well, yeah, I'll follow you as long as it's comfortable, as long as I agree with what you have to say? And sadly, that's the case for a lot of people these days. And coming on down to conclude our reading here, in verse 70, Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is the devil." And he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for the one of the 12 was going to betray him. So as we conclude this, you know, what other applications can we make? Are we willing to be subject to Jesus, even though we might not agree? Are we willing to be subject to a lesson that we don't understand? Are we willing to take ourselves out of the physical and to make application to the spiritual? Jesus didn't come here to the earth so that my life would be, you know, great when it comes to physical things. He is so much more concerned about my spiritual welfare. And what about us? Are we more concerned about our physical lives or spiritual welfare? And what about us with our brothers and sisters in Christ? How much effort do we put forth when it comes to those in need of spiritual help compared to those who are in need of physical health? Some things to think about that we really need to kind of focus on. Jesus' teaching here, you know, there's a lot of teaching and probably a lot more application that you can make out of these scriptures. But all this is said that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isn't that what we talked about in John chapter 20? The reason for this is to help us to be led to Christ, help us to believe who Jesus is and what he's here for. So hopefully this lesson has, you know, opened up some things for you, some good teaching of Jesus, obviously. Pick up that context and understand what Jesus is trying to teach in this lesson. If you're in need of any way, if you've studied your Bible and you understand what you need to do to be saved, your opportunity will come about here in a moment. Also, if you're in need of the prayers of this congregation, we need to keep in mind that our real purpose here is on a spiritual plane. We need to encourage each other spiritually. We need to try to be available for one another so that we can be the kind of encouragement we need to be so we can help you in your spiritual walk with God. If you're in need of an invitation in any way, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.